Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And today, your calls, your stories of real ghosts, as that's what we do on the show, Real Ghost Stories Online. Concept. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or use those mobile devices and even record your story that way on whatever app you choose, and then you can email it to us right through the mobile device, the mobile phone. You can email it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's how it works.
It works well.
And then it does. I love the sound quality that we're getting on a lot of those.
I do too.
It really, you know, as long as you don't get like too close to the mic and you're like, oh, a ghost story for you today?
Yeah.
Since we're speaking of best practices.
Okay.
On how to get a story on the air, because I get the question a lot of, you know, I sent a story in. Did you ever read it? Is it going to be on the air? I called in. Is it going to be on the air? And the answer is, most of the time, I don't know.
Okay.
Because I haven't read it. Basically, here's to increase your chances of getting it. I should say that because it's virtually impossible for someone to say, "Hey, I sent this. Can you go and check?" No, I can't, because the way that we could search that doesn't really work correctly to do that. We usually know if I ask you, but we're like behind in what? Where are we at as far as stories?
We're a good month and a half behind.
Okay, so if you sent your story in about a month, 2 months ago, probably haven't even read it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that is. So do send it in, but to increase your odds of it being on the air, usually should be probably more than how many words or how many paragraphs should we say here? On average.
Stories are better the more detail you can give.
Sure.
So, you know, at least 2 or 3 paragraphs.
Detail, proofread a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's readable. That's a good thing. Commas, periods, always encouraged.
It's encouraged, but I do go through and edit them for readability.
Sure. But that's important, because sometimes we'll get a story where it's... I've seen some where it's like literally like 2 sentences or 3 sentences. Those usually don't tend to go very far.
No.
So
if you can expand upon that idea, we'd love to hear that.
Do that. The other thing for audio recordings, make sure you're actually talking into your phone, not on speakerphone, if you're calling it. because I sometimes we get that and it's it sounds really distant and horrible and difficult to hear. So that would be a good one. Also, if you are in an area with questionable reception, driving maybe sometimes, make sure you're in an area where you're going to keep signal. That's another good thing to keep in mind. Turn that off. On the audio recordings, just again, don't get too close to your mic. Just talk normally and try not to be doing other stuff.
Right.
That's another one. Because sometimes you get in where you hear somebody, once we had the air, we thought they were doing dishes. It just turned out they were borderline possessed. Not making that up. Try not to do anything else.
Yeah.
If you can help it. Don't be putting the dishes away. Don't vacuum. Just try and keep somewhat quiet around you so we can make the story out. And that makes for good storytelling.
It does. And if you're going to write in, I suggest, you know, a lot of times people just want to tell the meat of the story. They just want to be like,
yeah,
you know, this one time this happened. If you can build up a little bit, tell us the setting, tell us what was going on, that just adds to the story and puts the listener right there in that situation. So even though you're not really expanding upon the haunting climax of the story, you're expanding upon the setting, and it just makes that much more entertaining.
Context
is just that much more entertaining to listen to.
You want to be put into the story before you suddenly get to, oh, holy crap, this is going down. A little context before you get to the big climax of the story.
Yeah.
So there's some tips for getting your stories on the air if you do so choose to share them, because we love to hear them, but there's some best practices to answer like about 50 emails at once right there. I thought I would just expand upon that because I get these questions all the time. So there you go. Follow those rules and you'll likely get your story on the air.
There you go.
All right. I didn't have to like play. I was going to play like happy go lucky music behind it. Here's what to do. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hello. Huge fan of the podcast. I've been listening to it for a couple months now and became an EPP and really enjoy hearing all the stories and just a great. It's also nice to hear a lot of experiences that are like shared by other people. So it's pretty cool. I have a couple of stories, but I'm not going to do it all in one. I know that's like a huge hunk. My first one is kind of my biggest one. Both of my parents are passed. My mom died when I was 17 and my dad died when I was 25. But this was still when my dad was alive and my mom had passed. I was in college. And I was dating my now husband, and it was the anniversary of her death, and I had just gone to see a play that my friends were in that ended up being pretty much focused all about how many people die a year from breast cancer, which is how my mom died. So it's kind of like, great, glad I'm watching this play on this day. I kind of got into like a weird headspace. And I remember, you know, I'm kind of a sarcastic person, so I'm like in my head, like, thanks, Mom, like, what a great day, you know. And I actually was harboring a lot of anger towards her that until recently and kind of how she handled the situation, because she kind of hid it from us for a while and, well, the entire time until she was, you know, a couple of days from dying. It was pretty terrible. But I was, you know, kind of sarcastic and angry and sad and didn't really understand. So there was a lot of, like, anger and, you know, just weirdness towards the situation. So I was saying that a lot in my head, like, walking home from the play, like, thanks a lot, Mom. Like, what a great day, you know. Of course that happened, you know, thanks. I don't know, for whatever reason, I was blaming her. And I got back to my apartment, and my boyfriend was there, and I was about to go attend a military ball with him. And he had, you know, he's like, oh, I have something for you, and I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, he brought me into my room of the apartment and shut the door. And it was, like, a narrow room. And under my bed was, like, one of those taller beds. Not a loft one, but, like, just a large space underneath, dorm. There was my guinea pig who was in a cage. And nothing, you know, nothing was really on the floor or anything. It was pretty clean. We were standing in the middle of the room, so we weren't touching anything, and it was a really sweet moment. He gave me this really pretty necklace and kind of, you know, said something along the lines of like, let's go steady, I guess, and if you want to say it that way. It was just kind of like, I want to work towards the future with you, and I love you, and, you know, here, I'm thank you for going to this thing with me. And, you know, it was very, very sweet. And was a lovely moment. And, you know, I went and hugged him, and it was sweet. And all of a sudden, we just heard bam. And then my guinea pig was like, nee, 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 nee. And I looked, and he was running in circles and then ran into his igloo so hard, the igloo slammed against the side of the crate. And I, like, looked in there, and he was shaking. And, I mean, guinea pigs are super, like, scaredy pigs. So it wasn't, like, the most uncommon thing, but it was just kind of weird. It was kind of simultaneous with that sound. And I was like, And he was very scared. Like, he wasn't just like, boop. He was, like, you know, shivering. And I was like, that's strange. And I was like, what happened? Like, what fell? Because we weren't touching anything. We were staying in the middle of the room hugging, pretty stationary. And I was like, what happened? And I looked down, and the only thing that's on the floor is this bottle of perfume. And you can see the liquids, like, swishing back and forth in it. And I was like, that's what fell. And I look at my other perfumes, like a couple other bottles, and they're all in the back of my desk. You know, like, if you have a desk pushed against the wall, it's where the desk meets the wall. And so this, and that's where all they were. They were pushed again away from the edge. So it had to have been slid all the way off, like, towards the floor, away from the wall, off the desk, because it wasn't, like, sitting on the edge, and somehow we jostled it. So it was just, like, sitting there swishing, and it kind of was taking us a couple minutes to, like, comprehend how that happened. Because we're like, what the heck, you know, and the guinea pig's freaking out. And then I just realized, and I was like, that's my mom's perfume. I had her bottle sitting in there, and it's called Sweet Honesty by Avon. And it was just the only perfume out of all those that got split up and fell. And you can tell that was the one. It was the only thing that had fallen. And it was, you know, the anniversary of her death, and I was kind of being rude to her in my head. And it was, my husband does not believe in this kind of stuff at all. But even, like, he will refer to that as, remember when your mom threw perfume at me? Like, he was like, I don't think she likes me. But in that moment, I was like, no, I think that was kind of like a, you know, I like him moment. Like, yes, do this. Like, you know, little mom advice. That's one of my bigger stories where it's kind of more, like, unexplainable in a way, and kind of clear, like, what was going on. I have a couple others.
It's kind of like Akon is telling the story.
I know. It was really good for most of it.
That's true. Right at the end there. I think, like, telephone quality has declined in the last 10 years. Yeah. We went from, like, oh, it's getting better, and, like, what the hell happened now? And is it just too many people using this data? And it's, I don't know. Anyway, it was a good story, and then right at the end, it's like started getting bad, so I'm cool with that.
So the bottle of perfume fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was putting more symbolism on the bottle of perfume itself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I don't know, when I first heard it, I kind of put more symbolism on the name of the perfume.
What was the name of the perfume?
Sweet Honesty.
Oh, double meaning.
I think maybe it was a double meaning.
It's coming back going, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was not sweetly honest with you.
As forthcoming. Yeah.
Or he was just being super honest with her about, you know, I don't know. Maybe it just had more meaning than just the bottle of perfume.
I could see that being the case. That's interesting. I wonder if that's something she's thought of.
I don't know.
It's one of those things where you tell a story like that to somebody, like a couple thousand people, and then they're like, oh, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat. So thank you for sharing that story. And calling that in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Sarah, and I am in the San Francisco Bay Area. Have been listening to you guys for a little while now. Love your show. I've been wanting to call in. I have a story. It actually happened to my mother. And just wanted to see what you guys think. It kind of ties in to something that happened with me later on. So I just want to say my mom is one of the most honest people I've ever met. She's never told a lie, so she doesn't exaggerate. So this story, she's told it to us a few times over the years. But when she was about 12 or 13, she was getting ready for bed. And she was about to turn off the light. She was in bed, and all of a sudden, this little girl walks out of her closet and just slowly walks over to the bed and sits down. And the whole time, she's just smiling at her, just this sweet little smile. So my mom, just panicking, I can't even imagine. She was freaking out. She said she just is staring at the girl. And finally, she said she pulled the covers over her head. She doesn't know what to do. And kind of like, in order to make a beeline to the door, you'd have to like run past this little girl that's now sitting on the end of her bed. So she kind of pulled the covers over her head and then slowly pulled them down. And the girl's still there, still smiling at her. And she has blonde hair, green eyes, and she just said, you know, she's a cute little girl. And then finally, a little girl stands up and then walks back into the closet and kind of turns and smiles one more time at her. And then just walks and the closet disappears. So I'm sure she gets up and runs and screams and tells my grandparents. And well, the interesting part is, years later, when I was probably about 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old, she's looking at me and realizes that the little girl she saw, who was probably about 5 years old maybe, looked exactly like me. And she said it was me. It was basically, I guess I'd come to check her out and say hi. I don't know. I don't know if any of that, what you guys think on people choosing their parents or how any of that works, but I just thought that was pretty cool. That, so I always joke that I came to check her out before, see if she was okay. But so another story that happened, I'll tell really quick. It's kind of similar. I was visiting my parents, and this was around the 2014 Napa earthquake. It was in August, and there was I'm sleeping and being ready for bed, laying down, sleeping, and I open my eyes and I look over and I see something walking out of the closet in the spare room, walking towards me, and I'm thinking, I'm just seeing things. And so I kind of blink and I sit up, and I'm sit up in bed. I completely, you know, I'm sitting up, I'm awake, I look over and it's still there. But it's more like a skeletal, or something in an old dress, and like a skeletal face with a bonnet, and it's just standing there. And when I sit up and I look over and I realize it's still there, I scream at the top of my lungs, and I grab my pillow and I start swinging it, and then I run out, and you know, I wake everybody up and everybody's freaking out. And so finally, you know, we all calm down and go back to bed. I'm convincing myself that maybe I was just sleeping, maybe I just woke up and was seeing something, but even though I knew that wasn't the case. But so we're all laying in bed, everybody's back to bed sleeping, and my whole bed starts shaking, the whole house starts shaking. And we all jump up, and because we're all awake at this point. It was in the middle of the night. We're all awake because of my screaming and everything before. So we're awake for the earthquake. It was like a 6.0 earthquake. And it was just all pretty bizarre, the timing of everything. So I read somewhere, and I just want to see what you guys think, that around, if the energy or something like that is disturbed around earthquakes, a lot of paranormal activity is reported around an earthquake, and it has something to do with the tectonic plates and displaced energy, and I don't know. I'm just, so I was just wondering if you guys heard anything about that, earthquakes and heightened paranormal things happening. So anyway, those are my two stories. I think we have a few more, but I will call in another time, and I'm going to sign up to be an EPP. Thank you, guys. You did an awesome job, and keep it up. Thanks. Bye.
I have not heard of things spiking as far as paranormal activity around an earthquake, but I guess it makes sense. You?
It does make sense, and no, I should look into that more, because I'm guessing somewhere there's some kind of superstition about that.
I'm just thinking of along the lines of it puts a lot of people's, energy, nerves at, right out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets, I think, that all very heightened. So I think you have a heightened sense of all that with massive amounts of people in an area. You're also disturbing a lot of buildings and energy and places. I could see that making sense.
See, I was thinking more from the standpoint of stone in the ground moving.
And, oh, okay.
And that kind of energy. And you know sure. how energy is absorbed into like natural types of stone and mm-hmm. things like that. It made me wonder if maybe some of that is expelled all at once.
I don't know. That's another way of looking at that.
So.
You know, I could see it that way too. It just my thought is just the tremendous amount of nervous energy into the air or into the area at one time that would be something that could be fed off of.
Yeah, you'd have to be nuts to be like, oh, fun, you know, 6.0 earthquake.
Yeah, that's not fun at that point.
No.
Like, some of the fracking ones that we get around here, it depends how bad they are. There's been once I knew what it was, I'm like, oh, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, like, jumping for joy, but I was like, kind of like, oh, this is an earthquake. It's because I haven't really felt many in my entire life.
Yeah.
So when it was like the second one I ever felt, when I actually had the opportunity to recognize that was what was going on as it was going on, because usually it's a little bit after, I'm like, oh, that was an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm literally experiencing one right this second. And I didn't want to say anything out loud because I was at a place where children's hair was getting cut. I was taking Harper to get her hair cut, and she was sitting in a little airplane watching The Lion King or something on TV, and all the children are playing with little trains. And I was sitting down and I felt this couch shaking, and the woman that was sitting on the couch next to me, we just kind of looked at each other because my first thought was there was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like a kid's on the other side of the couch shaking it or something.
Hiding or
so
something.
So I was kind of like, I'm looking around and I don't see anything. I'm like, I think we're just kind of like the only parents sitting over here. And she looked like, earthquake? You feel that too? Like, yeah, okay. I'm not crazy then. But no one else did.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, we felt, probably a dozen now?
Yeah, I think so. It was kind of weird because the other day, I could have sworn there was another one going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I don't know, 5 a.m. or so. And it's around the time I usually kind of start waking up on and off. And I was just laying in bed, and then I could just feel what very distinctly felt like those kind of smaller earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I felt them, I can identify them. And like, oh, must have been another earthquake. And then I get up and I am my phone and I'm thinking, I'm just going to check and, you know, because usually everybody starts tweeting about that stuff immediately. Nothing. Like, oh, maybe I'm just too soon. So later, get up later and check it up. Nothing. There was no earthquake.
That's
I don't know what
weird.
The hell that was.
Yeah.
Unless you started like convulsing or something on your side of the bed. I don't think you were.
I don't think so.
But even then, I don't with that mattress because it absorbs like everything.
Yeah.
So it really takes like the whole house shaking to really feel anything in that. So anyway, good times. Maybe it was a ghost. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Matt in the UK who's utilizing emailing in his audio story.
Hi there, Tony and Jenny. It's Matt from England. I've wrote in a couple of times and I thought I'd call recording this time. You read one of my stories out a while ago. It's where I referred to the way that you said that Tony was the best £50 you ever spent. It's sounding like a slave auction. Sorry about that. Today I've got a couple of other stories. I apologise if I sound a bit breathy. I'm out for my walk, so I apologise to get background noise and cars and birds. Anyway, this story actually happened today. I'm currently at home. Well, I stay at home. My partner and the children have gone on holiday for 2 weeks. It was a family in the Middle East, so I've been left at home to sort of guard the place and work. Now this morning at about, it must be about 8 o'clock, I kind of woke up with no alarm on the children's screen, which is quite a bonus. And when I woke up, I looked up and I could see a shadow on the wall. Now, normally when there's been a bad night, I sleep downstairs. And to sort of see a shadow on the wall as someone walks past the front window isn't normally too big a thing. It's a shadow, you know, there's someone outside or whatever. But, so I kind of put that off and I looked at the wall and I said, oh, there's a shadow there, it's just someone standing outside or whatever. And the shadow sort of turned and moved. And again, still thinking I was sort of on the sofa after a bad night, sort of said to myself, well, that's fine, you know, someone's walking past. And then it clicked to myself that I'm upstairs. And in fact, there's no one outside. And the only light is from the upstairs window. So I immediately kind of got a bit baffled by that and sort of stood up and tried to recreate the light and try to understand. And the only way that shadow could be in place on the wall is this one was stood at the foot of the bed. And the light from the window would have been projecting that shadow onto the wall. So that happened in the morning, which was a bit spooky. And then as I went downstairs to sort of make breakfast and get on with the day, I start to pour some water into the sink where they obviously you sort of dishes out, and I put the grill on, I open the cupboard, and, you know, doing the sort of thing, making a fry up for myself, you know, little treats here and there. I hear a knock at the door, so I think, okay, postman. It's unusual, go to the door, it's a Sunday, so there's no post, which is a bit confusing. And then I think, okay, well, there's no one at the front door, that's a bit weird. Never mind, it could be some kids, I mean, it's early in the morning, but it could be some children. So I look up and down the street, and there's no one there, so it's a bit confusing, but never mind. I'm still quite tired and groggy. So I think, okay, back in the kitchen. Remember, the cupboard is still open, obviously I've left everything as it was going, the grill's still on. As I walk in the kitchen, a Pyrex, I don't know if you have the same thing in the US, but it's essentially like a reinforced glass. A Pyrex jug explodes, just shatters from the shelf in the kitchen. Completely out of nowhere. Sorry, I'm trying to remember it now, it's just confusing. So this jug, which I've dropped onto the tile floor sort of 5 or 6 times in the past, and it's always used for making things like gravy and hot chocolate, just explodes off the shelf and shatters everywhere in the kitchen. So I tidied that up. Remember, this all happened this morning, so I was still a bit baffled by it, so I tidied all that up. Now, I know I sound really calm about all this, but obviously it was quite early in the morning and I was not quite waking up yet. So I tidy all the glass up. And I kind of think, right, well, this is now getting a bit strange. You know, I've had a shadow, I've had a knock at the door, the glass has exploded. I kind of look around the house and just make sure that, you know, nothing else is out of place, which is the most rational thing I could think of then. I mean, that was this morning. It's a bit, I'm still a bit baffled by it all, really. You'll remember on my previous stories, I wrote in about my study door opening and closing, even though it's got a bolt lock on it. I mean, also about toys that generally decide to drive around the living room. Now, we are convinced there is something in the house, but we don't know what. I mean, we've had experiences where rocking chairs, we've heard banging, or we've heard big bangs from rooms, but when we've gone there, there's been nothing there. So we're all a little bit confused by what it is, and I'm interested to know who or what it is in the house. But I guess the worry is, because we have little children, I mean, my son's 3 and my daughter's 1, the worry is that I don't want to stir it up. And if it is a bad spirit, then, you know, maybe acknowledging it might encourage the behaviour. But at the same time, we don't kind of want to make it leave. I mean, I said in one of my previous stories, our house is sort of very old. I think it was built in the 1780s. It's a very, very old place. It's one of the first houses that was built in my village. So we're a bit kind of, we don't want to dispossess anyone that still thinks they live there. I guess the big question I've got really for everyone is, how would I go about acknowledging it and trying to understand more about it, but without encouraging it? Anyway, I've just become an EPP. I really enjoy the show. I really enjoy the EPP shows. And anyone who isn't an EPP should really do that. It's brilliant. And I'll ring in again soon. Thanks a lot.
Jenny?
Well, I don't think there's a way to do it risk-free of it stirring up.
Yeah.
I would just simply ask it to stop breaking things. Don't scare me. Don't show yourself to my family or myself, and see if things calm down. It doesn't sound all that, you know, ominous right now. It just sounds like it just wants some attention.
Yeah, if you're going to interact with it, and that's the thing, if you're going to interact with it, just be prepared for whatever could happen here. In more cases than not, I would say, we've has had that be the simple solution, where it seems like something's not so bad. The simple, hey, look, if we're going to, you know, interact here, we're going to cohabitate here, that's fine, but please stop doing this and stop showing yourself. It's not comfortable. If you're going to keep doing that, I'm going to take this beyond me just asking you and figure out a better way to remove you.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, that seems to work wonders. In others, it makes things really hit the fan. But that's...
But probably in the majority of cases, yeah. It's yeah. better.
I would, yeah, I agree. And yeah, I didn't really get much of a vibe of it being something super dark here.
No, it just sounded like a hissy fit. And, yeah. you know, hissy fits are simply, even when kids do it, a cry for attention. So...
Give a little attention, show a little love, and see what happens. That would be upsetting having the Pyrex explode.
Yeah, it's... Pyrex is tough stuff.
Yeah, that takes a lot of force. That's the only thing that kind of scares me. It's just what the hell force it has to blow up Pyrex.
I don't know.
That's just, wow. Thank you for taking the time to share the story, and thanks for being an EPP. We do greatly appreciate that. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Bez, and I've called a few times before, and I wanted to tell you about my visit to the Villisca Axe Murder House in Villisca, Iowa. I just went there today with a few friends and our kids. And we went through the tour, and then afterwards we were kind of left in the house alone to explore it. It's so... when I first walked in there, of course I knew this was going to happen because I am sensitive, but I could feel the energy in there right away. And it wasn't overwhelming or anything like that. It was just, you knew something was there. At certain parts, you could feel it stronger, and there was a very overwhelming sense of sadness in just certain areas where you felt energy, you got the goosebumps and things like that, and then just this overwhelming feeling of sadness. But as soon as you stepped out of that small area, it all went away and you felt fine. The other thing that happened was something was moving my hair. The first time it happened, I was standing in one of those areas where I was feeling the sadness, and you know, I felt my hair moving, and I said, something's moving my hair. And they came over to look, and, you know, they could see that something was actually moving my hair. And then later, one of the balls, they have balls around the different rooms if you wanted to play with the children who died in that house. You could use the balls or other toys that they have set up in the different rooms. And this was in the kitchen, and one of the balls just started moving around. And then it stopped, you know, and I got really excited when it started moving around and started cheering and saying, yes, you can do this. We want to play with you. Keep it going. You know, I wanted to interact. And it stopped, and I was... trying to coax it into moving it again, but it wouldn't. And so I said, okay, you touched my hair earlier, you know, why don't you touch my friend's hair instead? You know, maybe you'd like to touch her hair. And then I felt my hair being moved again, and I told everybody, I said, okay, my hair is moving again. And they came by, and they were able to see it moving as well. And my one friend was like, okay, none of your hair is moving except for that one part. And I wasn't wearing a shirt with a collar or anything like that that could cause my hair to move. It was just a basic t-shirt. And, it was kind of weird, but at the same time, not something that I haven't experienced before, so I didn't freak out too bad. It was just kind of validating that something was there. And there were different times where one of my friends did think she heard some things, and she felt some things in different rooms. And this is the friend who is definitely doesn't classify herself as sensitive. You know, she always said that she wishes something would happen to her, you know, because she's interested in it, but not really sensitive. But she was experiencing things in this house. She did experience the different spots, like I said, where you felt the sadness, and she heard some things. And in the stairwell, she began shaking because of whatever energy or presence was there. And I stood in the stairwell for a while as well, just to see if I could pick up what she was feeling. And I didn't really, but I did hear some murmuring, just a quick, like, murmur. And, you know, I was looking around to see if I could see any shadows, feel anything, any kind of movement, and there was nothing. There was just that quick murmur, and it was done. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys about that, and I appreciate your show. I love hearing everybody else's stories, and thank you for the good work that you do. And I hope to hear this on your show. If not, I'm excited to share it anyway. Have a great day. Bye.
I would be too chicken to say, yeah, let's keep playing. I would just be afraid so much that it's not really a ghost kid.
Yeah, I'd have a lot of curiosity there.
Mm-hmm.
I would really have to hold back, but I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be like, yeah, error on the side of not getting possessed.
Right.
You know, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the scary thing with some of that stuff. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. If you want to be an EPP, as you hear people talk about that, you sign up to be one on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Just click Become an EPP, and you will enjoy it. Trust me, lots and lots of ghost stories are our best ones. By the time this thing airs, almost up to 90 EPP episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Also, exclusive video content, our monthly series, Seeing Ghosts, and there's all other stuff up there, too. So enjoy it. That's what keeps our show on the air. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Kerry, and I live just outside Winchester in Hampshire. In England. I'm recording this as it's probably the best way I can get it to you. It's not my story, it's my mum's. I did try and start to write it to you, but it was just taking forever and I never got around to finishing it. So I'm attempting to do this in my lunch break and hopefully it will get to you. The story is about my mother and her family witnessing one of the scariest ghost stories that I've ever heard. She was married to her first husband, and every Friday evening they would go round to my great auntie's and they would play cards. So there would be my mother, her ex-husband, my grandmother, my granddad, my great auntie, my great uncle, and my auntie and my uncle. So there's a lot of people, and my mum's dog. One Friday evening she went in, they always got fish and chips from the chip shop, and one Friday evening they went there with their fish and chips. My mum would go into the house, her husband would park the car, and then he would come round to the side door, which they always left open. This particular evening there was a knock at the side door, so she told him to come on in, it's open. And there was another knock, and she told him again to come on in. And he didn't. So she was frustrated, went and opened the door, and it wasn't him standing there. She thinks it was her great-granddad, my great-granddad, who had actually died quite recently. What she opened the door to was a white figure that she said she knew was a ghost. It was clearly a person, but kind of transparent. Definitely not a real person or anyone playing a trick. She said that she felt all the hairs on her arms stand up, the hairs on her head. She was terrified, to say the least, and called out, and everybody came in and she told them what happened. Anyway, they went on to play cards that evening, and they were all sat around the table, and my grandmother, my nanny, had said that she needed to get up and use the bathroom. So she went to use the bathroom. While she was gone, they were sat around playing cards and the dog started to bark furiously. They all looked at the dog and wondered what the problem was. And then they heard a terrific moan. My mum said it was one of the scariest thing that she'd ever heard. It was kind of like a pained, terrified, wailing noise. So my grandmother came out of the bathroom and the first thing she said was, you know, was it you? Who was it? Who made that noise? And, you know, was it you, to my granddad, because she thought that they were playing a trick on her. Obviously, it wasn't any of them. And they'd all heard it. The dog was still barking. Everybody was scared. They didn't know what was going on. Surprisingly, they carried on their card game and finished the evening. My other auntie and uncle actually lived opposite this particular auntie, and they that evening had noticed some weird things going on. They'd looked out their window because they saw a strange glow. And my auntie called my uncle over and said, you know, come and have a look at this. What do you think this is? And they'd seen a strange glow, but then the glow had actually moved around the house, like someone walking. And they'd seen there's someone trying to get in the house. It looked like a white, transparent figure trying to get in the house. So whether or not they'd seen the ghost that my mum had opened the door to, I don't know. But the story actually gets a little weirder because things ended up getting more and more and increasingly strange as time went on. I mean, things would disappear and reappear. That classic old haunting trick. My auntie had a vanity set, which is a mirror, a brush and a comb, and which was popular, and they would be laid out on her dressing table, and one day she came in and they were all just cracked down the middle, like in half. I mean, this is one of those big, hard, heavy, wide paddle brushes which had like embroidery on the back with the matching mirror and the comb, all just cracked in half. Things would appear that were never even in the house before. Footsteps heard, lights going on and off. My auntie's son, who my cousin who had lived there, would hear noises in the night, and his light would be turned on and off. And they would all hear water running as well, like a rushing of water, and they never knew where it was coming from. The clocks would all stop. But the water was explained years later when someone was renovating the garden and they dug up and they found an old well there. I mean, it had been years and years since the water had actually been running through the garden. But, you know, the well was there. So it was like a phantom water noise that they were all hearing. But possibly the strangest thing that anyone witnessed in that house was my other auntie and uncle, who lived opposite, again one night saw a glow. And what they actually saw was an old-fashioned milk float. So obviously with our milkman, you know, we get milk delivered, but a horse-drawn milk float that actually drove through my auntie's house, one side, drove through the middle of it, came straight out the other side and just disappeared, which was definitely something very strange indeed. I think in all of this, my great auntie, who I love dearly, was probably the one throughout that she always had strange things happen to her no matter where she went. I was always really creeped out in that house. That house was kind of freaky. I always found it weird. I always found the atmosphere a bit heavy. But even when she moved out of that house after my uncle died, my great uncle, in the house that she moved into, a tiny little bungalow, you know, relative, probably built in the 60s, and she'd have things appear that were from another time. She'd have perfume appear in the cupboard, which were, you know, that you can't even buy anymore, that had been decades before, like in the 40s, that, you know, just appear. Bits of clothing, just odd things. And then she actually moved in with my grandmother, who lived until she was 104, and died on her 104th birthday a couple of years ago. And they lived together for the end of their lives. And even strange things would happen there. You know, nothing major, but pictures falling off walls and bumps in the night and security lights going on without explanation and you know, things moving about. And I lived there with them for a while. And I have to say, I never experienced anything strange myself. And I never felt uncomfortable But I do always dream about that house. And if I ever have a haunted dream, it's always that house I dream about. So I don't know whether that means anything. That's my story anyway. And I just want to say I love your podcast. I am an EPP and I was since after half an hour of listening to the first show. Because even though I hardly ever listen to the EPP episodes because I don't get time, I still think that you guys deserve it for all the hard work you do. Listening and tell everyone about you, and it makes my walk to work far more interesting. And I have something to say on the bunk beds as well. I do agree with someone that wrote into you recently saying about the energy. I think that if you've got two children in one place stacked on top of each other, that's kind of double the energy, and it almost creates like this little vortex of you know, vibes. So I think I actually agree to that as well. So that's it. And keep up everything you do, and you guys are great, and I will probably call in again because I have other stuff to share. Okay, bye.
I love the idea of things showing up from another time.
I think that house was some kind of time warp,
yeah,
or something like that. I mean, the milkman showing up from a different era with the milk wagon.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Oh, that'd be a great bed and breakfast. Can you imagine all the weird reviews you get on like TripAdvisor and that one? They take so much time and detail into making you feel like you're back in insert era here, and everybody's like talking about different eras.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, we really don't. The house is possessed.
That's strange. It makes you wonder if somewhere in the past they're getting things that are going missing from the future.
It's an interesting thought. You know, there's a lot of, there's some real creepy pictures online about that sort of thing where people are examining, you know, like, for example, like something around the Kennedy assassination, mm-hmm, or what have you. Some things where there's pictures of mass groups of people, very historic times. And then every once in a while, someone will have pointed out that person there doesn't really fit into the rest of the crowd. Now, of course, there's very eclectic people in all generations, mm-hmm, but I would say more so back in other times, way before now. Right now, it's like everyone's eclectic in their own way.
Yeah.
So
vintage is the thing.
And vintage in their own way, mm-hmm, too. It's not like everybody is wearing top hats and coats, and whereas everyone kind of stayed for the most part in a certain look, mm-hmm, in a lot of other eras. We're like, now we're playing the best of looks, and everyone's picking their favorite era. Yeah, the one person that stands out, and there's some that are really weird, mm-hmm, where it's like, is that person on a cell phone? In like the 30s, you, uh-huh, know, or they're, it's kind of like the Back to the Future and the Michael J. Fox wearing the life preserver, you know, or it's not really a life, but that's what it looks like.
Sure.
And that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder, you know, does it happen the other way too?
I don't know. I tend to think that if things can pop up in the present from the past,
mm-hmm,
why can't it be the other way?
You would think. It's like that show,
mm-hmm,
that is now over and we're mourning the loss of.
I loved that show.
11/22/65.
63.
Damn it.
You are so bad with your history.
Damn it, I'm horrible. You're right, I am. Dates and names.
Yeah.
Not good at all. Horrible. I forget my own birthday sometimes. Let's go to Kate. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name's Kate. I wanted to call in with a story that actually just happened to my husband and I last night. We were driving home from the hospital. His mother is very sick, and we were driving home about, I'd say about 10:30 at night, and we have to go through kind of an older part of town to get to where we live from the hospital. So we're driving through, and there was a checkpoint set up, I guess, for DUI, for drunk people or seatbelts or whatever. So my husband said, well, we'll just pass it by turning down this other street. Well, on that street, there's some older businesses there, and one is a funeral home that is, it, I believe at some point people lived there also, while it was, it's always been a funeral home. I think it goes back to like the early 1900s, I want to say, that they've been doing funerals there. But I do know that the family that owns the funeral home have lived in that house also while it was a funeral home. And it still is an active funeral home. So we're driving by, and I look out the window, and I notice in the upstairs of the funeral home, there was a light that was like flashing. It almost looked like either someone switching a light switch or someone turning on a little lamp, like on and off, on and off, on and off. And I told my husband, I said, slow down a little bit. The speed limit is 20 miles an hour through there anyway, but, you know, he has to go 30 because he's in a rush to go wherever, you know, to go home. But he looked and he said, yeah, it's like flashing. So we slowed down a little bit and we watched it. It went like 7 or 8 times and then it stopped and it was off. And I just thought, how odd, because every other, I mean, it was pitch dark except for the front porch lights and then the little lights that are in their little parking lot there. But I just thought, how odd. I drive past there almost every day. And at night too, and I don't, maybe I just have never noticed before, but I just thought that was the oddest thing, that the lights were flashing in just that one window. It wasn't a reflection from anything. It was clearly coming from inside because you could see what was inside of the window being illuminated. So I just thought I would share that with you. I love your show, and we are EPP members. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being an EPP. You ever wonder if the dead try to signal the living, especially in places that are not necessarily inhabited much anymore?
Yeah, like a funeral home where nobody lives there.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Not and probably no power either.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to guess if there's no one there. Electric's probably off.
Well, but it's still an active funeral home.
Okay, okay.
It's just not a residence.
Okay, I see what you're... Okay, I get it, I get it. Even so,
mm-hmm.
when there's no one there at that normal time and the way that, you know, the lights move on and it makes me wonder.
It's just creepy, even if it did have a normal explanation of
sure.
somebody's checking a light because there's a problem or something.
Yeah.
At 10:30 at night, the upstairs vacant funeral home lights going off and on.
It's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been creeped out by the idea of being stuck or, like, locked into the room, like the casket showcase room.
Even though there's not people in there?
Even though there's not people in there. I don't know why. I think it just goes back to being a kid and, like, being at funerals, because I knew where the casket showcase room was at this funeral home that was, like, commonly held a lot of funerals at. And it was a kind of a creepy funeral home. You go down this big old set of stairs, you know, big old wooden banister, and it's kind of in their basement. But the lights were always off in the funeral because they weren't, like, wasn't active for selling anything at that moment in time. But as kids, were just kind of killing time and daring each other to go down the steps to that little room and see who could get in there the furthest and then, you know, come back out. And I think all of us made it to maybe, like, step 3 of, like, 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody ever got very far, but it was always like, oh, God. I don't know. It's just a creepy... I don't know. I don't like that.
No. I don't know. The empty casket room doesn't bother me.
No, I think it's just me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a fear of like getting, like going in one and getting stuck in one or, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's weird. Thank you for all being EPPs today that have called in. We do greatly appreciate that. If you're not one yet, please consider signing up and being one and helping to keep our show on the air. It's only $5 a month. That is what fuels this thing. Without our EPPs, it would not continue. So if you like the show, please consider doing that, getting all of that bonus material, and continuing to enjoy the show, because like I said, without it, it wouldn't continue. Check it out. Go to ghostpodcast.com. And click Become an EPP. Or you can go to our regular website, realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP. Either way, you'll do it. Ghost Podcast is the official EPP site.
Okay.
It's where all of the stories live. So I thought it may just be easier just to send people directly to that site.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. You click, you're good. Secure checkout. You don't need to be using PayPal if you don't want to. That's an option, and it's up to you however you want to do it. So check, credit card. It's all options for you. At ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. and click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.